Video. It's the only way to get what you want to watch when you
Hello, my name is Justin LeClue, and I'm here today with
Mark Hansen.
And you're listening to the Base Review Video Podcast. We go through all this week's notable Blu-rays and DVDs.
Yeah, all of this week's
partner labels of Vinegar Syndrome.
Like, that's pretty much everything that came out this week.
Mm-hmm.
It's dry early January, eh?
Yep, it's like
it's
the
really
movies
dry.
In the theaters. Not much.
Except
buzz.
Justin and I are buzzing right now after stepping out of a
screening. You know what? We're not
even going to say it.
Yeah, because technically I don't think we're allowed to talk about it on social media.
Until Wednesday. Well, by the time you post this, it'll be fine.
Maybe
right?
It'll go up on Tuesday. You don't know.
Let's just say we had a buzz.
Yep.
A good time. Real good time.
All right. So number one, we have Wayne Wang's Life is Cheap, but Toilet Paper is Expensive.
This is a big one. I feel like Wayne Wang has been getting a lot of special editions of his movies over the last
recently,
few years.
Yeah.
But this one has never been available on disc before.
Really?
I
wouldn't know.
I think this is like one of those white whale kind of films.
Oh.
I was looking into it and I'd never seen it before. I always heard of its reputation. It was one of those movies, those early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, art house type films that got an X rating.
They got an X rating and they went unrated.
Although,
an A for adult.
Yeah, although watching this, I can see why. Like, there's a scene where there's like a porno playing in the background or something. But there's some transgressive stuff. I mean, to rate this X nowadays seems a little, superfluous. Mm-hmm. But, that's what it was back then. But this film, as far as I know, has just never been available on disc at all. We've never had a rental of it or anything. And now it finally is here in a beautiful set from Arbelo's Films.
Yeah.
Justin's opening it right now. This packaging is
crazy. It has fake money
in it. They have fake money in it. They've got like
because it's supposed to look like
thing.
A Chinese New Year where you give
like
red envelopes.
Right. So this was initially supposed to drop, or it did, in early December, but it got delayed a bit because of the packaging, I think. They needed a bit more time to like finalize the packaging.
Well, I wish
great
I could discuss
here,
it,
though.
But this is a white, black void in front of me because we didn't receive any free copies.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Did they say, they're like, oh, we'll send you some stuff.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
At one point. They sent me one before.
Yeah, but not me.
But you know what? We're getting these direct from Arbelo's now, and which is great because we never actually got this fancy-ass packaging before.
Right. You would only get the releases afterwards.
So we would get these always, but only the disc. It's kind of like the Vinegar Syndrome thing back in the day when we would get them without the slip covers or whatever. But collectors these days,
they need
the limited
edition. That thing
looks
so fragile. I'm shocked they didn't come destroyed.
Well, that's the thing. Well, they bundled them up really nice.
Okay.
But even when I was putting these out on the shelf, like, I was just wary. I'm like, I don't want to even put these
out. Did you watch
this
movie?
I did, yeah.
Oh, what's it about?
So, very minimalist. Probably his... I wouldn't say I'm a Wayne Wang expert by any means. I would say it's maybe his most experimental film out of what I've seen, and I think what people consider his most experimental film. Loose story is it's like a nameless cowboy character who takes kind of shady jobs for like mobsters and stuff, agrees to take a briefcase, which he is like handcuffed to, from San Francisco to Hong Kong. And when he gets there, he's supposed to give it off to somebody and he can't find that person. And he basically just goes on this journey where he meets all these different strange characters, gets involved with criminal types, but it's super, it makes it seem like it's more of a conventional movie than it's not. It really isn't. It's super experimental. A lot of documentary aspects to it, a lot of commentary on Chinese culture at that period, which was, I believe, why Wayne Wang made it. It was kind of his response to a lot of what was going on politically and culturally in China at the time, in Hong Kong. And I think what I hear people talk about the most with this film is the foot chase sequence. Have you heard about that?
No, I've never heard about it.
There's an extended foot chase sequence in this, which is great. It's like rivals stuff in action movies. So I don't know. That's kind of what I hear a lot of people talk about is like almost the selling point. But there is so much that's cool in this movie. It's just like, it's a thrilling film. It's the kind of thing that just kind of assaults you and then leaves your head spinning for days. So
I thought it was excellent.
I thought it was excellent. So it's awesome that it's available again. Short film too. So you
wouldn't
can,
know. So my review will have to be embargoed.
You couldn't even just watch it out of curiosity. Are you a fan of
Wayne Wang? I would have watched it if I knew there was a free copy waiting for me when I arrived at the store. I don't think I've ever seen a Wayne Wang movie.
Really? Didn't we? I thought we talked about Chan is Missing and you said you'd seen that.
Maybe.
Put that
I don't think
earlier.
So.
No? Joy Luck Club or anything?
Nope.
Or...
never seen it.
Okay. All right. Well, then I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you.
I need you to put the pressure on
hey, it's
the
your
company.
Turn now. It's your turn to put the pressure on.
I do it through the podcast every week. This one looks like fun. I'm glad that it's put out. I love Arbalos as a company. They do really great stuff. And I'm really happy that Bay Street Video can receive them now.
Yeah, and this restoration does look beautiful, too. I will say that.
Even though that packaging, again, would be damaged instantly at my house.
I know. That's a thing. I love this packaging.
Like, it's tough to put back in the case.
The problem is, though, when you try and slip this flap back over, it really takes some skill to get it back in there.
It's like trying to put it back in a vinegar archive.
Exactly. Still love to see it. Still love to see this ambitious packaging here.
All right. So next up, we have The Dog Who Stopped the War.
We're in partner label territory here.
Yes. This is Canadian International Pictures. And have you seen this movie?
You know, I haven't. I haven't seen this. I was going to watch it too, but then, you know, it's not Christmas anymore.
This is not a Christmas movie.
I thought it was a Christmas movie.
Uh-uh. It's a January film. Perfect timing.
Just didn't. Maybe it doesn't take
place during Christmas break. Oh, it does say, as the Christmas holidays begin. I don't remember a lot of Christmas stuff in it, though.
Well, I'm definitely putting it on the list for next Christmas to watch.
I love this movie.
View.
It's great. Showed it during one of my holiday movie Mind Melters, much to the chagrin of the people who watched it. Because this film is famous for how it ends. It's right there in the title, The Dog Who Stopped the War. How does a dog stop a war?
Tragic event that happens. Spoiler alert,
because people were furious at me when I referenced that in the review that I wrote.
Okay. See, I didn't know that, but it does say there's a tragic occurrence on the back cover, and I kind of
Most people want to know about that.
I figured it had something to do with that.
This movie is very fun. It's directed by a Quebec director who also made... What is the other one he did?
He made another Christmas one you showed, didn't he?
Yes.
For Mind Melter, right?
Yeah, he did Rafale. I think it's Blizzard, where it's a guy takes over a... It's like during a Christmas holiday, like a heist goes wrong. He doesn't know what to do.
Yeah, I watched half of that when you played it in your Mind Melter.
Some people are dedicated.
I tuned in late.
Very good. It's out on Blu-ray now. I don't think it ever came to a proper release before.
We've never had it here, so not that I'm aware of.
Wait, are we going to get another Peanut Butter Solution release?
No, but Severin's got that, right?
Yeah, but they're doing all the Huck de Mess titles, and that would probably fall under that umbrella.
I mean, the Severin one's still
in print
and available, so. It'll be interesting.
And Kayla Janice does commentary on this Blu-ray when she is also involved with Severin.
Yeah.
So maybe they just made a deal and they let them have it. Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff on this Blu-ray, though.
Yep. There's a documentary from 2009 that's feature length. What else is there? New interviews with the stars. I mean, they were all children when they made. Are they like? Yeah, it was fun, I guess.
Memories.
Yeah.
It was a traumatic set for all of them.
No, I hope it was very fun. I mean, man, you're failing your Canadian duty by not watching this movie.
I know. I'm sorry. I usually do, though. I watch the Christmas Martian.
No, from not seeing it up until now. That's what I mean.
Well, that's how I felt about you not seeing the Christmas Martian before that came out.
Oh, that's right.
I was like, how could you have not seen this Christmas Canadian classic?
All right. So next up, we have Queen of Earth. Alex Ross Perry.
The long-awaited first IFC title.
Oh, that's right. OCS. They have a deal with IFC.
This is the first
IFC.
One. Yeah.
Didn't we guess
this is what it was going to be,
yes,
too?
Yes, we did.
We did, right?
Like a sucker, I have the DVD. Ugh. Like a
that
dumb,
was an expensive
dumb.
DVD, too.
But so Alex Ross Perry famously has said, like, I don't care about Blu-rays.
Really? Eh?
Yes, he said that many times. He's like, it just needs to be on DVD. It's fine.
Okay, so he's okay with physical media. It's
he likes
physical,
but he doesn't
Blu-ray,
care about Blu-ray.
Care about. So does he do nothing on this?
No, he does new commentary on it.
Okay.
What is Alex Ross Perry doing these days?
I'm sure they're paying him to do it, right? Maybe. Do they pay people to do
commentaries?
Features?
Like if you're a filmmaker?
If you're like somebody like Alex Ross Perry?
I don't know. I wonder if they do.
If you're a big name, I wonder if they...
Or they just say, oh, do you want to do a commentary?
Yeah.
So there's a new commentary with Alex Ross Perry, Sean Price Williams, and actress Harry Nett. And there's the old commentary with Alex Ross Perry and Elizabeth Smoth from 2016 that was on the original DVD. And a new video conversation with Alex Ross Perry and actress Catherine Watterson. What has she been up to these days?
That's a good question. I mean, she doesn't really need to do anything, right? Is she a Nepo kid?
Oh, is she?
Isn't she Sam Watterson's daughter?
I was going to say Bill Watterson. Calvin and Hobbes fame.
I thought she was Sam Watterson's daughter, but I might be
But she was
wrong.
Everywhere for a while.
She was, yeah. I mean, Inherent Vice was kind of like...
Oh,
I feel like she
right.
peaked with that, and then after that...
She's barely in Inherent Vice.
I mean,
isn't she in the flashback, and that's
she
it?
She is, yeah. But I feel like people remember her a lot from that movie. But since then... I'm not sure.
Queen of Earth is psychological thriller.
Great
it's
movie.
Good.
Have you seen Persona? It's kind of like Persona.
Kind of like that, yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
I think I prefer Alex Ross Perry's earlier, funnier films.
Like Impolex?
The one right after
The Color
that.
Wheel, yeah.
The Color
love
Wheel?
The Color Wheel. Love The Color Wheel.
And then...
Listen Up, Philip?
I love Listen Up, Philip. Yeah, that one's good. So good.
I really love this film, though. I remember seeing this in theaters at the time or at a screening somewhere. And
I remember watching it and going, did I miss 15 minutes? Like, oh, it's over here, over now, right? Yeah. Okay.
I mean, Elizabeth Moss gives a tour de force mm-hmm. in this. I mean, I was already a fan of her on Mad Men and everything at the time, but
that's why you're a Scientologist as well.
It is, yeah, that's the one thing about her. Like, I just yep. can't love her, but
did she get into it
really?
Young?
No.
I don't know.
Isn't she with like
she's not with
Beck
you
or something?
What
is she married to Beck? Or
okay, well,
like
the Scientology Beck thing supposedly is blown out of proportion.
Really?
Yes,
okay. I thought she was with Beck. I might be mistaken.
Oh, yeah, you're trying to like a famous Scientologist, Tom Cruise.
She was with somebody.
Okay, that was a Scientologist.
Was like,
yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
Mm. Yep, but Queen of Earth, it's good.
Great movie. Awesome movie.
What are the next IFC titles going to be?
Yeah, it just seems like this is a bit of an obvious one for IFC to release, which doesn't mean it's bad, but just an obvious one.
Next up, Listen Up, Philip.
That wasn't IFC, though.
Oh, it wasn't? I thought it was.
Maybe it is. I don't think the DVD came out from IFC, though. What, they're just going to do Alex Ross Perry? They can't just do Alex Ross Perry movies.
What are the IFC titles?
Like, there's tons of IFC titles.
We guessed this one instantly.
It was like, what's a prominent IFC title that has no Blu-ray?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know... has people, and he's also in that Factory 25 world, and obviously that's also a partner label, so yeah, I don't know what the next one will be. Excited to see. Maybe it'll be something way out of left field. Who knows?
Maybe.
Who knows?
Next up, we have Lady World, another DVD I bought like a dum-dum.
Yeah, I think we even talked about this.
Yeah, we were like, is it going to come
out?
And I think we said, I don't think it's going to come out to Blu-ray.
It did come out on Blu-ray, though.
Oh, did it?
Bare Bones one, though.
Oh,
it came out on Blu-ray.
I didn't
DVD.
Buy that one. I
no,
only got
I
the DVD.
I think you just
yeah.
got the DVD. It was from a company. I can't even remember the company. Some nothing company.
So I think what happened here is Amanda Kramer's next film was released by Altered Innocence, wasn't it?
Music Box, I think.
Oh, Music
but
Box.
But one of the partner labels, yeah. They've put out, they've put out Please Baby Please and Give Us Pity. Or
is Yellow Veil like the dumping ground of the Vinegar Syndrome partner labels? Because it's like, whatever,
well,
new film. But sometimes it's an old film.
But they've got that like Gaspar Noé
or
stuff.
A Canadian film.
Yeah.
Like
Falcon Lake. Yeah. They
Yellow Veil feels like, we don't know where to put this. Put it here.
But they've put out some pretty interesting stuff.
They have.
They put out The Midnight Swim, which is a film I like.
Which would fall within the Lady World, kind of.
Lux Aeterna.
Wasn't the original concept kind of like Giallo style?
Well, it was, right?
I don't
know what their concept is anymore.
New.
They put out that documentary on erotic thrillers
last
month.
It's a dumping ground.
Or something.
It's whatever's
new
that they don't have another
sure.
place to
I'm not
put.
Sure.
I like Lady World a lot.
They put out Ash Cal recently, which is a great movie. They put out some good movies.
I'm not saying they didn't put out, but I think... like
You're right, though. You're right.
What I associate with some is like festival films that play a lot of festivals but don't have enough of a commercial kind of like hook or name to be able to get...
Yeah. Just, no, you're right. You're right. But sorry, we're not dumping on you, Yellow Veil.
I like Lady World.
I love Lady World. Great movie. I saw this on a whim. I think Peter Kaplowski was actually the one who screened this initially.
Well, he was
somewhere.
A big fan of the shorts that the director made. Which
I definitely
is why.
Heard about it, I think, at the time through him somehow, and then it came out here initially. I thought it was cool. I mean, it's just a simplistic... surreal kind of premise about a bunch of teenage girls who are getting together for a slumber party, and then maybe there's an apocalypse going on.
No
outside,
one needs to be in charge when everyone has a knife.
You're
that's a real different concept,
right? I mean, you think it kind of sets it up like it's going to be a Lord of the Flies type thing,
kind of, because
like
there's an earthquake, they get trapped,
but it's not really that either. It does remind me, I feel like it reminds me a bit of Avalon Fast's Honeycomb, which you put out
Golden Ninja Video
a bit later, similar kind of vibes.
Honeycomb
there.
Is weirder.
Honeycomb's weirder.
Yeah.
But
Amanda Kramer was
like
able to go on and make other films. What was the musical one?
Please Baby Please, right?
Which I'm
with
like
Andrea Riseborough.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know if I bought
you
this.
You bought that one.
Did I?
Yeah, I
so
remember
I have it
you
somewhere.
You've
okay.
got that somewhere. And then they also released another one of her films, which I don't know anything about, Give Me Pity, I believe it's called.
So don't know that
she's
one.
She's made a few films in the last few years.
Has Yellow Veil put all those out?
No, it's different.
What
so,
the hell?
So Please Baby Please was Music Box.
Yeah.
They're all partner labels.
Yeah.
And then I think Give Me Pity was actually like Utopia or something.
So
like that.
It feels like Vinegar Syndrome, like sometimes they pick the movies that the partner label releases.
I think there's certain filmmakers that have relationships with like the OCN umbrella.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's Vinegar Syndrome, sometimes it's Yellow Veil, Music Box, like all these different companies. That's like even with Alex Ross Perry, you know, you got like he's sort of part of the Factory 25 world, but also IFC.
But it's also like the there's no kind of like we were talking about this earlier before we started recording. It's like what are the authorial voices of the programmers of these labels?
Like who runs each individual?
Well, actually, I know the guy who runs it's a Crocodile's little top hat.
Oh, Def Crocodile.
Yeah, Def Crocodile.
Yeah,
and he's actually on all his releases. Like,
okay,
he does intros, he interviews the director.
Yeah.
But the other ones, I'm like, I don't know who this is.
Well, I mean, the Canadian International Pictures guys I've met, they are actual guys who run that label.
And I don't mean they have to be present on
all that stuff,
or anything like that.
But you're right, it does. Especially now when there's so many partner labels.
It's like,
and they're
why that
like
one?
Dropping in and out, too. And you're like, so who's behind all of this or any of this?
And I'm sure they are. I'm sure if I went to, like, the Disconnected YouTube channel, that guy interviews everyone. So I'm sure they're
And
up
to
there.
Be fair, like, Yellow Veil or Music Box or these places, they are, like, legit theatrical distributors, too.
Does Yellow Veil do theatrical distribution?
They do. Yeah, they do in the U.S. So they clearly have a team that is separate from, like, the OCN, like, physical media kind of thing.
Well, interesting.
Yeah. Anyways, great movie, though.
Lady Wolf. But a very low-key movie. Yeah, we should let people know that when they go in. What do I got that I didn't have on the DVD? Commentary, alternative opening scene, a whole other feature. Paris Window.
A whole other feature?
Yeah, Paris Window feature 2018.
Wow.
Wait, what is that?
I don't know.
Did Amanda Kramer?
That I don't even know what that is.
A short intervene.
Well, that's cool, though. Yet, like, all this extra interesting
rejected
stuff on there.
Teaser.
Interesting.
Rejected, huh?
I don't know. I need to get in. This is the only thing of hers I've seen.
So next up, we have Skateboard. That's the skateboard sliding in because it's this week's blind buy.
Woo, woo, woo. And this is another one we've talked about once upon a time.
Episode 2, 3,
definitely one of those early
episodes. Because I remember we were recording at 8 a.m. in the morning.
We were.
And we were in the store.
And we were talking about the first official-ish, I don't know, DVD release of it from Liberation Hall.
Now, is Liberation Hall still around?
I don't know. I don't think we had new release from them. I think the last thing they put out
RoboCop.
Was the RoboCop series. Yep.
But now Skateboard is finally here.
From Factory 25. And this is actually a bigger deal from them than most of their releases. I am on their email list, and I've been getting spammed emails about this for a year.
Because
they started a Kickstarter to restore this film.
Okay.
Because I don't know if you bought that DVD from Liberation.
I did, and I gave it away.
Terrible quality, right?
Yeah. But it had, like, special features.
It had some special features, but I remember the quality was shit. And it was one of those movies that, like, nobody... I think there were maybe some music rights issues, or there was something. Nobody could find the negative. Anyways, Factory 25 got... I don't know, a negative or something to restore it. And they put on this big campaign to bring Skateboard back to life.
Yep.
And we watched it.
And it's fine.
Okay. It's fine. I feel like if you're a skateboarder, like there are legit skateboarders in this movie.
Yeah. So it should be noted that this film came out in 1978. So that's way before the wave of skateboard popularity in popular culture.
Yeah. But you can tell it's very clearly trying to be the Bad News Bears.
Mm-hmm. But
for skateboarders.
And much more low-key.
I mean, Alan Garfield kind of takes over the Jack Lemmon role, the Walter Matthau role.
It's no either Rad. No,
it's not that. You know, I was thinking that. Because when it started off and you got that slow-mo of those kids doing the skateboard tricks and stuff, I'm like, this kind of feels like Rad. I think I'll be into this.
No, that's all you really get. Yeah.
There's too much... It's too long.
Yeah.
It's like an hour and 40 minutes or something, which I know doesn't sound that
97
long.
Minutes.
It felt longer than it should have been because there's too much plot that doesn't need
to be there.
You know, I just want to see the guy come in and put together the team and then they just do competitions or whatever. But there's this whole subplot where Alan Garfield's character owes money. And so this
it's
is
like,
why
who cares?
Doing...
Where's the skateboarding?
And then he keeps fighting with his skateboarders because they're like sleeping around or something.
Wait, I love how this back of this Blu-ray says 97 minutes plus 9 minutes of extras.
Nine minutes? There's only 9 minutes of extras?
This is a commentary.
So how do these compare from what your memory of the DVD is?
I don't remember. I could have sworn there was like a 30-minute interview. I don't have the DVD anymore, so I couldn't check.
No, that's fine. We don't have it either because nobody really bought it.
I remember it was like $8. That's the only reason
that I bought
it.
Liberation Hall way.
And it looked like crap, but now it looks great.
Apparently it looks great.
Now, would I be disappointed with my blind buy? Yes, I think I would have to say.
I think so.
Yeah.
And I really love kids' sports movies. Yeah. So I was looking forward to this. It's okay.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad I saw it because I just like these kind
what
of movies.
What a great cover.
Great cut. They've done some great
Bad News Bears ask ripoff poster underneath.
I didn't realize this was like a legit studio film from back in the day.
I don't even know it was a studio film.
Well, it had the Universal
logo. Oh, that's probably why it was difficult.
At least the copy we watched.
Because it probably only came out on DVD due to like, it's rights free, right?
I think so. So
maybe it was distributed by Universal?
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I think it got somewhat of like a wider release right away. I don't think it did very well or went anywhere. But yeah, there's some...
Were you ever a skateboarder as a kid?
No.
My friends were huge
skateboarders.
Everybody
thought I was because I always rocked the skateboarder look.
Yeah.
And my brother had a skateboard. He wasn't... And I tried that. I could just never get the hang of it.
Like, my friends...
I was just bad at it.
Yeah, me neither. I could never do an ollie or anything like that.
I have bad balance.
So I used it to travel when I was in school. But like, my friends like were really... Like, they would go to the skate park every lunchtime and
do
stuff. And I was like, I just sit and read.
I was fascinated by skateboard culture.
Were you?
Really, that's why seeing some... I actually knew... Like, Tony Alva's in this, who's like
not
a
enough wide-angle lenses, which would
not
come
enough
to define the skateboarding
style. They don't shoot it well enough.
Yes.
I love the scenes where you're seeing them do tricks and stuff, but I just felt like there wasn't enough of it, and it wasn't just shot in any kind of dynamic. Even Rad does it a little bit better, even though that's a different
sport
altogether. But
stylistic kind of, you know, techniques people would use had not come into fruition yet. Mostly because, you know, what we associate with like skateboard videos is like Spike Jonze and people like that using kind of like consumer cameras to shoot them.
Yeah.
Those fisheye lenses.
But I think the big deal with this, at least I was reading after, is that it was the big film role for Leif Garrett, who was very popular at the time.
Oh, yeah. So, well, he was a big child star, so it was probably coming near his child star.
He was like the marketing thrust of this. But yeah, you got like skateboarding legend Tony Alva and an iconic female freestyler and member of the Skateboarding Hall of Fame, Ellen O'Neill.
Cool.
I think she's the one doing that trick where she's got the two skateboards on both feet.
Is there, what are the like the top skateboarding movies that are not like biopics like Dogtown?
Yeah, because I was gonna say it's mostly just, like documentaries.
Yeah,
that's like Dogtown and
like
Z-Boys,
how has there not been like a really cool? I'm sure there is, and I'm not thinking.
There must be, and I'm blanking.
Because I'm thinking of like only roller skating movies.
Yeah, lots of great roller skating movies. Airborne. Yeah, you know, stuff like that.
Prayer
for the Roller Boys. But
isn't there another?
Isn't Gleaming the Cube a skateboarding movie?
Oh, is it? I haven't seen it.
That's the Christian Slater.
Yeah, one. Never. You haven't seen a Christian Slater skateboarding?
No, I've seen it, but it's like, but it's so long ago. I'm like, was that skateboarding or was that I think that was skateboarding.
Yeah, I
might be wrong.
People are writing in the comments now.
You're angrily. I miss sporting Gleaming the Cube.
So next up, we have Vile 21 from the one of the original VHS labels, VHS Shitfest. Let's go through the rundown.
VHS Shitfest.
Who do we got? We got
Saturn's
VHS
Core.
Saturn's Core. The OG.
Yeah. VH Shitfest.
Yeah. There's another one too.
Well, there's the new one.
Yes.
Degausser.
Yeah, Degausser.
They just
I could have
started.
Sworn there was another one that did they leave? Oh, Culture Shock was kind of in
kind
there.
Of.
Yeah,
I
but
mean,
not really.
Agfa didn't
Agfa, yeah,
Bleeding,
Agfa. They were doing
Skull,
a lot of VHS.
Agfa.
So there was five.
Yeah, because Bleeding Skull has their own label now.
Oh, so there's
like,
a new
separate
one.
Separate from Agfa, and their first one at the end of this month is an SOV film.
Oh, is it?
Pretty legendary.
Blonde Death?
Blonde Death.
Oh, I already have that DVD, and I paid so much for it
well,
when
now
it came out.
You can
out.
Get it on Blu-ray.
Not doing
the
that.
The slipcover for that one sold out. Look at that.
Do people know what these movies are?
I don't know. Somebody, none of the other releases this month sold out that fast, except for
like, I love Blonde Death, but like, maybe people have the same taste as I do and they like that.
I don't know. I mean, I saw people online saying, like, oh, yeah, I'm not surprised. This is like one of the most legendary SOV films.
Oh, okay.
Do people know that? I didn't think people knew that.
No, I don't think people knew that.
Yeah.
I remember when I ordered it from Bleeding Skull, it was like $20 and it was like $25 for shipping or something like that. It was like brutal.
Yeah.
Anyway, but so VHS Shitfest, Vile 21. This one...
Never seen this.
No, you would never have, because it was nowhere.
Okay.
I watched it because I went to Ben Ruffett's house and his rare VHS collection.
Ooh.
And I saw it, and I looked at the back, and it said it was 177 minutes long.
What?
And I went, that kid, we need... It was not. It's just a normal movie length. And it had a cool monster on it, but...
Yeah, I
boy,
love the cover here.
Don't hold your breath for that monster to show up, because it does right at the end. I believe I had the first review on Letterboxd. Let me see if I can find it and read it. Yeah, Ben Ruffett, like, what? Such a fascinating guy that, like, I would talk to him and be like, how do you learn about these movies? And he's like, I don't know, Facebook groups. And I was like, wow. And he would just get, like, obsessed with the film
and
just kind of, like, hone in on it. A zero-budget monster movie from the early days of shitty-looking... shot on mini-DV feature. File 21's visual sheen...
Mini-DV, eh?
File 21's visual sheen can only be described as piss green. And the running time is padded with people entering and leaving rooms very slowly while mumbling endless scientific nonsense. There are a few moments of brief excitement, like a car crash, fire gag, explosion, and the aforementioned stop-motion monster who first appears 45 minutes in, but it's all delivered by someone who deeply misunderstands how to construct a motion picture. Ooh, rough words, old Justin.
Damn.
But is just competent enough to make it kind of boring. Bonus points for the big monster hand. Oh, there's a big monster hand that like swats at people.
Okay.
Because
like
the monster
that.
Grows giant.
That's cool.
Everyone in this film has the worst hair imaginable. Mullets, bad guys with ponytails, more bald guys with ponytails. Okay, spoiler alert for people who don't want Vol 21 spoiled. I did appreciate the sudden turn set 25 years later.
Wow.
Into
ambitious.
Pure melodrama. A character goes, I release you from your monster curse, for you obviously have the soul of the man. not very good.
Sounds
but
like,
if you're buying
sounds
these
like
VHS
an okay
shit
time,
fest, maybe
yeah.
you'll get it. If I hadn't seen it, I would have
bought
it in
that
an
cover
instant.
Cover sells itself. I don't know.
All right, so next up. Oh,
we're still doing partner labels here.
Is this another partner label?
Yeah.
Charlie
this
Victor
is,
Romeo.
This is Decanalog, who, kind of like Yellowvale, again. They do more foreign art house type stuff, but this is an American film. Have you heard of this, though?
No, in 3D.
Yeah, so this is a 3D release, although I just watched it in 2D because the 3D was just... I don't have, like, an official, like,
yeah,
a
but
stereo.
Yeah, there's red in...
Yeah, it comes with... I watched it for a bit. It
okay,
really.
Didn't do anything for you.
Basically, this was a big play in New York where
okay.
they took the black box transcripts of a bunch of... notable airline disasters for like the decade before and basically
made it one
did it verbatim like had actors play it out verbatim in like this set of a cockpit and everything where you're listening to the pilot
but you just see six accidents in a row that doesn't interest me
so
very
it's like
much.
A psychological exercise type thing as a play and as a movie they film it just like it's like
so
it's
just put the camera down shoot it
it looks like you're just in the theater so they don't really do much to sort of transcend the stage limitations but that's kind of the point but I think for me, I'd love to see this on stage someday. Yeah. I feel like on film, there is a bit of a remove when, like, if you're, I guess...
So did all of these disasters end in death?
All but one,
okay.
mostly. So it is pretty more. That's the thing.
It's
that
morbid.
It's morbid. And there were questions of, is this exploitative or
yes.
not? Yeah, right. Well, it reminded me of that documentary. Remember that documentary, The Bridge, where it was like the guy
Oh,
who,
committing suicide?
Yeah, it was like...
Oh, yeah, where you put
he
a camera on
the footage
watched,
of like people jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah.
Something like that, right?
Yeah.
It's like, is that exploitative? Yeah, you could say that. At the same time,
especially
apparently,
if it's verbatim.
Apparently, this is the play has become a big thing with the airline industry.
Oh, like teaching.
They actually like have employees go to it to like see how people react in like crisis situations. I thought this was pretty fascinating, but I feel like if you can see the play, I think they still run it. Like it's been running since the 90s, so if you can see the play, that might be the better venue for it. But this Blu-ray, like Justin said, is pretty loaded with a 2D cut, a 3D stereoscopic cut, and a 3D anaglyph cut.
Does it come with 3D glasses?
It does, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're just not here
in
right
there,
now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does. And I don't know. I watched some of the 3D, just the anaglyph 3D.
Yeah.
Didn't really do that much, but I think it did screen in 3D certain places.
Huh, interesting.
So. Anyways, the other thing that kind of turned me onto this was John Waters put this on his top 10
years
ago, calling it, as it says on the back, the scariest airplane movie ever. Agnes Varda's got a quote on the back here, a radical film.
There you go.
Didn't even know she'd seen it. Interesting stuff.
And you keep pretty abreast of what Agnes Varda
totally
was watching
do.
In the 2010s.
I totally do. And for people wondering.
I didn't know she saw it.
Yeah. If you're wondering what Charlie Victor Romeo means, that is the code word for CVR cockpit voice recorder. So it all takes place in like an airplane cockpit.
You think the people who were in those situations would enjoy that people are paying money to go see,
see
the final
the
lines of their death?
I don't know. There is a behind the scenes doc that PBS did that's on this,
looking into
it, talking about the play, and they asked the creators who are still in this film, what do you think about that? And they're basically like, it's your typical like theater kid kind of response, like, we're all about pushing boundaries, you know? And
I think cool.
like, I don't know. I found their responses like,
they didn't really
I'm
think
not sure
about
that
it.
Would like sit well with the people that are related to these people.
Yeah.
But, you know, am I, look, am I?
Like, imagine you died
yeah.
that, like a Wolverine bit your dick off and then a flamethrower was set up your butt and like the particular lines you said while that was happening.
Well, that's the thing.
Like done on stage every day.
Yeah, you're literally listening to people's last words.
Yeah.
But I mean, who am I to judge? I'm like a true crime junkie, so.
I'm a good man.
You're a perfect person.
Yeah, that's right.
But it is that age-old question, right? Is true crime exploitative?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
It is.
Am I entertained by it? Yes.
Am I not entertained?
At
the blood and circuses, you're sitting
at
back.
The suffering of other people.
Of other people. No, I only like cartoony violence and done in a very wild way.
Like the next one.
Yes. This was a good lead-in to the next film, right. Scrapbook, a movie by Eric Stans. Now, it's weird for me to bring this up, for me to say, I don't like this movie.
Yeah, you like, I'm surprised you want to even talk about this.
I love Eric Stans. I love his attitude.
Well,
he makes indie films.
Savage Harvest, right?
His first film, Savage Harvest. But he's a guy as well who's always like, I love pushing boundaries.
Yeah, well, this one pushes them all.
Have you seen Deadwood Park?
No.
Oh,
this is the only one of his films I've seen.
Really? Yeah. This one's, not the one.
I just remember at the time, there were a lot of horror publications that were big on it. They were like, best indie horror movie
of the year.
So there
was multiple cuts of this. I think there was a more edited version and then a new one.
I'm not sure which. One I saw was
Deadwood Park
grimy,
is like
so.
2 hours and change. And it's like an epic ghost vampire
in
a theme park shot on mini DV and really weird angles and like sort of ropey performances.
Well, I was looking his filmography up after, and I expected he was going to be like a Fred Vogel type guy, the August Underground. And I look him up, and he's like, oh, really pleasant looking dude. And I look up his other credits. I'm like, these sound like fun
Scrapbook
movies.
Is basically, wait, what year did it come out?
It predates August Underground, actually.
It does.
Yeah.
Because it's very August Underground-ish.
Yeah, it's exactly like August Underground.
And what is August Underground?
Well, we talked about August Underground.
A woman gets kidnapped, she gets tortured. That's it. Yeah.
This one is a little more character-focused, only in that it's one woman who has been kidnapped, and the killer is making a scrapbook.
Yeah.
And she is going to be his final entry in the scrapbook. So he forces her to, write in the scrapbook. But this is in between many, many scenes
of torture.
Torture, rape, massive degradation.
Do I have this on DVD? Of course I do.
Yeah.
That's how I watch it.
This was I remember when I started working here. We had the DVD rental.
I bought it from you guys.
We sold it off.
Nobody rented it. Yeah.
But when I first started, that was when I flipped through. I'm like, oh, what's this? And, I was more into extreme horror.
Yeah.
So I'm like, ah,
right.
Push me to
the limit. No, not that far.
Oh, this is kind of grot. I'd already seen August Underground at that point, though. So I feel like I was kind of just like, oh, this is just like August Underground.
He had a little run where he directed films under a pseudonym as well.
Did he? I didn't know that.
I believe he directed, I Piss on Your Corpse, Spit on Your Grave.
Yeah.
There's a Christmas one, too, that was like in that. Vein, but I just want to highlight Eric Stans.
I don't know,
because I really, really enjoy Savage Harvest. He has a new one.
I gotta watch that
in memory
one.
Of. I'm not I, too big a fan of,
okay.
but I bought it from him on Blu-ray.
Is it worth watching? I saw it's on Tubi right now.
I don't know if you know what? Maybe you would enjoy it.
I'm intrigued by him for sure.
Ratline is. I was worried it was gonna be a scrapbook. It's not. It's like a wild movie about Nazis that are doing weird experiments, and it gets really wacky. Ice from the Sun, which was his follow-up to Savage Harvest, is bananas. It's
that
one
looked fun.
A hallucinatory shot on film movie. I don't know if I liked it when I saw it when I bought the DVD, but I'm sure I would like it more now. Deadwood Park, I love, and I really like Savage Harvest 2, which was not directed by him, but the director of Savage Harvest 2. There's still. Clearly still fans because he directed the making of on this
did he?
Blu-ray.
There you go.
You know what film I always think of Eric Stanzi, Savage Harvest. How come Leif Jonker's The Darkness has never come out on Blu-ray? Do you guys still have a DVD of that?
No.
They announced it. I think Arrow did a long time ago.
Yeah. We don't. I think that got sold off at one point.
Really? Because that's so expensive now.
Yeah, no, I know. We even had a sale copy that I think got sold off at a reduced price, too.
I really like Leif Jonker's The Darkness. I have the DVD that back in the salad days, I bought it at an HMV. They just had it there.
That was the kind of shit you'd find just right at the front at HMV. So, that'll come out again soon, I guarantee it.
Maybe not because
it has been a while.
It has been a long time. That DVD came out in 2005.
I think we talked about it years ago. Potential of it coming out again.
But if it had happened one of the Vinegar Syndrome, do you think maybe there's issues with him? I wonder what issue is.
Is there any kind of copyright issues with it?
I don't know. I don't think so. The DVD was awesome because it had
it was a
new version of the film that he did new scans, and then the film that was released on VHS, which he was a little bit embarrassed by because he recorded a camcorder, just recorded a screen playing the movie. And the distributor went, this is good enough. You don't have to do anything more. And the guy was like, wait. This was just a test version.
Yeah, we
don't care. I think maybe we talked about it in that respect.
Okay, yeah, that's probably that.
So Scrapbook, hey, if you like those kind of movies, pick it up.
Yeah, if you're one of those. Yeah, if you're into it, you're going to be
into it.
These are
$45.
Saturn's core stuff is going up. I don't know why. Is it just...
Like, are they not selling enough, or are they selling well enough that they can jack
those
prices?
They have started pricing them higher than some of the other partner labels. Mm-hmm. And at first, I think it was because they were a little more loaded with extras.
Yeah.
They had a
I mean, this one's loaded with extras, too.
One,
no. Still, there's a new documentary. There's a new commentary.
But I don't know why it's like $5 more than all the other partner label ones.
Maybe,
but
again...
Maybe they just feel
less.
Like the people that'll buy
them. They'll just buy them,
will pay for that, you know? It's kind of that, like,
once,
ooh, it's like a taboo thing, you know?
Like, we keep saying this. We've been saying it for 3 years. But, like, once it crosses that $50 mark, I think that's, like, a dead
that's
zone for a lot
much,
of people.
Yeah. Like, even if you're really into this stuff, like, $45, like, a lot to pay for, like, a faux snuff film. You know?
Or maybe.
But
if it was
but
the 90s
is like,
and you were into this, you'd probably be paying a lot more.
You'd probably be paying a lot more, so.
But also, the internet doesn't exist. Don't look on the internet, guys.
Yeah,
don't do that.
Yeah, definitely don't look this up on, like, effeduppmovies.com or something.
Next up, finally... From
Via Vision.
Yeah, Via Vision. And Mark's favorite two filmmakers, Bryan Singer and Dean Devlin.
I knew you were going to say that. I don't like Bryan Singer.
No. Does Bryan Singer still have fans? He can't, right?
Oh, no, he's been long canceled by now.
Yeah,
right?
But like, maybe that new documentary that's going to come out.
Yeah,
is
what's
clear.
The documentary
isn't it, like,
coming
called
out?
Innocent or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, he announced that like over a year ago. That's never coming out. He's gonna put that out himself, like
yeah,
Louis
or Daily
CK
Wire
style. Or Daily
that'd be
Wire.
Very funny if it came
that
out.
That would be
through...
really funny.
Yeah.
No, this was The Triangle. It was a 2005 miniseries. It was a kind of a big deal at the time, right? I remember seeing ads for this all over the place.
I mean, the cover looks like Stargate Atlantis.
I know. It was, I think, a Sci-Fi Channel miniseries. Yeah, but the big deal was that Bryan Singer was producing it, and he was pretty big at that point.
I used to be a Bryan Singer fan back
too.
In the day. Usual Suspects.
Apt Pupil.
Never watched Apt Pupil. The X-Men films.
The X-Men films,
I mean, you don't like those.
No,
but...
I watched those back in the day. They were okay.
I have not seen any of the X-Men. So I saw Days of Future Past, but then I didn't see Apocalypse.
I saw First Class.
Yeah, I didn't like that
one.
That
was the last
Matthew
one
Vaughn,
I saw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there was also that, like, contractually obligated Dark Phoenix one that Simon
right,
Kinberg directed.
That nobody cared about, right? Yeah.
That everybody was, like, legally obligated to be there, like Michael
right.
Fassbender. And,
yep.
So The Triangle.
But this was, it's not just Bryan Singer, though. Dean Devlin as well was a producer.
Well, most importantly, it's directed by Craig R. Baxley.
Who?
The TV
king. We love. I feel like we always talk about Craig R. Baxley on this show.
I don't know if I love him, though. Because I'm not.
Are you? Oh yeah, you're kind of lukewarm on Stone Cold.
Cold, I am,
okay.
And I did rewatch it. For
yeah, I know you tried.
Episode, yeah.
You really tried hard.
And I'm kind of lukewarm on Action Jackson too.
Oh, I like
it. Or I like
Jackson.
To call it In Action Jackson. When is he gonna get in on the action?
It's got that great climax though.
Yeah, the climax
you know,
does not
Baxley,
make a movie.
Baxley is great at the climax.
He is.
I'll say
he is.
That. But I come.
Oh,
I come
I'm a
in
huge
peace.
Fan. I love yeah. I Come in Peace. Great movie.
That. Unfortunately, he kind of just went into TV after
yep,
that.
Yes, but big prestige
big,
TV.
Did a lot of Stephen King ones.
Storm of the Century.
Storm of the Century, Rose Red, yep. Kingdom Hospital, I think he directed a few episodes
oh,
of.
Oh, man, I still have that like weirdly out-of-print Rose Red DVD set that came out.
Yep.
Is that ever going to come out on Blu-ray?
I think somebody will put it. Well,
if,
The Shining miniseries just got announced for Shout, so maybe they're going to start digging into some of this
but,
stuff.
But like, wouldn't it have been dumped already?
Yeah.
Because like they did those sets. To The Stand?
Yep.
Was that
did.
A CBC or...
No, that was a...
Not CBC, CBS?
CBS one, I think.
I remember watching Storm of the Century when I played on
hey,
two nights.
I was... Me too.
Yeah.
That was a big event. My parents watched it. Like,
why?
We were all ready for Storm of the Century. Colmfjord?
Yeah.
It's okay. I actually... my partner and I rewatched it maybe 3-4 years ago just to throw it on for kicks. It's okay. It still holds up all right. This one... Not,
no one really
so
has
great.
Any, yeah.
Lots of... It's, you know what, I love Baxley. This one has just got no style to it.
Ugh.
It's terribly shot. It's really like that mid-2000s network.
But you
TV
got Eric
sheen.
Stoltz, Catherine Bell, Lou Diamond Phillips, Bruce Davidson,
Sam Neill.
Sam Neill, well, and Sam Neill. A Joseph LaDuca score, Evil Dead's composer.
Right. You know what, it's just one of those things. It feels like, I think this came out the year or two after Lost premiered, and it seems like they're really trying to do like Lost.
Yeah.
The effects are so bad in this, though. Like, I mean, obviously it's TV, but like they're beyond bad. I didn't watch this whole thing. I'd always been intrigued just because of Baxley, but I threw on the first episode while I was doing stuff. Yeah, it's your typical like network TV kind of shit. And I love Bermuda Triangle stuff. I think the Bermuda Triangle is great.
So
and this one just doesn't really.
You're not gonna finish it.
Nah, it's just boring. It's just boring. Nobody's really bringing anything, and I just hate the way it's shot. It's like so many good cast members and stuff. Everybody's shot like really up close. It's like extreme close-ups all the time, and it's like. I guess that was just like the network TV way, but like clearly you guys had somewhat of a budget. If like Brian Singer, Dean Devlin were behind this, you couldn't like shoot
give it a little style, like
a few compositions, like here or there. No, I don't know. Lou Diamond Phillips has got a few good scenes. He plays like one guy who's been like he was part of some disaster involved, and now he's like in some different timeline. He's like. I don't know. It's
timeline stuff?
So basically, yeah, it's all about how the Bermuda Triangle is like some government Philadelphia experiment wormhole thing. And if you close it up, then it changes the timeline. It's very Lost. It seems like it's trying to be Lost. But this probably was in production before Lost came out. So I don't know. It feels just like discount Lost to me.
Yeah, so get it out of here.
So I gotta say I'm a little disappointed in my man, Craig Baxley. I looked him up, though, and I was like...
He's still alive, I believe.
Still alive. Yeah. He hasn't directed anything in a while. He's got a... film in production right now.
Is it in production? Is one of those like ghost movies?
Stephen King adaptation.
Oh,
back
what?
With Stephen King. The Gingerbread Man or something?
Oh, that's been on
is
there
that,
forever.
Is that been on there
forever?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not happening. I guess it's not happening. Well, I miss you, Craig.
How we miss you, Craig?
He did a Left Behind sequel too, remember?
Ugh, yeah. All right, well, that's
it. Sniper 2.
One of those ones.
Yeah, one of those. They're up to like 10 of those now,
yeah, they're
right?
bad. Don't watch them. We did. It's not worth it.
I've heard some people starting to reclaim the Sniper series.
Nope. Me and my friends did all of them. We did like 7 of them, I think, in a row.
I've seen the first one.
They're bad. Yeah. No sniper tricks.
Even the second one with Craig? No.
I think I like 3 more than 2, so that's not saying much. Yeah.
All right.
So that's it for this week's episode of the Base Review Video Podcast. Until next week, my name is Justin DeGlue.
And I'm Mark Hansen.
Keep on buying.
Keep on renting. What you wanna watch. I thought of some skateboarding movies.
Many more are available at your local video store.
I just brought up a list of skateboarding movies.
Okay, Thrashin', I thought of.
Okay,
that's skateboarding.
Yep.
That's Josh
right.
Brolin, right?
Yep.
My brother was obsessed with a movie that I've never seen, but called Grind.
Yep,
from the
it's
early
on
2000s.
Here. 2003,
people
Grind.
Really, yeah, people seem to
Isn't
really like
it. Is it a
like
Canadian
Grind.
Film? It looks
no,
like a Canadian
it, it
film.
It feels like it. Adam Brody's in it.
Yeah, Adam Brody's.
My brother had that on DVD. He was obsessed with it. I never watched it.
The director also made a film called, and if anyone's seen it, It's You from 2014, The Remaining. It's a rapture movie.
I've heard of that. Yeah. Haven't seen it. Though.
After the rapture, there are fates worse than this. okay, so let me look at the skateboard movie
list. Was Leaving the Cube a skateboard movie?
Yep, number one. It's on this
list.
I got
it right.
I'm looking at ones that are not documentaries. Paranoid Park.
Oh, Paranoid Park. Of course, Gus Van Sant.
It says here, Ken
movie.
Park is a skateboarding movie.
Well, it's like, you could say that about half of Larry Clark. You could say that about kids, right? Like, they're all skateboarding.
Dish Dogs, which looks more like
that's Matthew Lillard, I believe, is in that.
And Sean Astin.
Yeah.
But that looks more like a surfing movie based
on
the cover.
A surfing movie, yeah. I don't think that's. I remember that cover.
How could we forget MVP 2, Most Vertical Primate?
Hey, of course.
A movie called Skate or Die. Where's that from?
That sounds kind of familiar.
Yeah.
The title sounds
2008.
Familiar.
Is it
Skate
French?
Die.
Miguel Courtois. That looks like. No, but it looks like.
Oh, I think I've seen this. Let me see the cover. You got a cover?
It's just
there?
Like people skating as they're being chased by.
Oh, I've seen this movie.
Okay.
So I was working at Rogers Video in this.
Yeah, it
out.
Is French.
Yeah, they released this back when they were releasing everything.
Like
on DVD.
Wasabi and.
Yeah. I watched it just purely based on that title. Don't remember anything about it.
Okay.
Great title. Great title.
I mean, we're missing one, a big one. 1993's Airborne.
Oh, was that a skateboarding one? I thought that was a
Oh, no, it looks like roller.
That's a
rollerblading. Yeah, rollerblading
I love Airborne.
It's on this
Airborne's
list.
Great.
What the hell?
Yeah, that's a rollerblading one.
Hard Flip. I've never heard of this.
Never heard of that.
Directed by Johnny Remo and starring Randy Wayne. Who's that?
Don't
this
know.
Looks like something you would have absolutely seen, which is like a very
good.
Generic.
I'm into it. I'll watch any sports-related, dumb sports-related movie.
Mid-90s, the Jonah Hill film.
You know what? Never seen that one.
No, I mean, why would
I
you?
I don't really like Jonah Hill.
No, nobody does. Skateboard is on this list at number 52.
Okay.
Then you're getting kind of in the shaky, like, over the edge.
Yeah, I guess.
Kenny and Company.
Well,
I mean, not
there's
really.
There's so many movies, like youth movies, where there's, like, one skateboarder kid, or there's, like, a scene where they're on skateboards.
But
that's,
I want,
that's not
like,
a
pure skateboarding
that's
movie.
That's not a skateboarding
movie. Yeah, so me and Mark, we're going to make a skateboarding movie. We're bringing it back.
We should. Both of us who don't know how to skateboard.
We star in it.
We star in it. Let's make our own skate videos. People who don't know how to skate.
I mean, people would love that.
They probably would. You'd probably go viral. Yeah. Whoa, look at this.
These old men falling over on their skateboards.
We're just doing Jackass or something, basically.
We're bringing Jackass
back, baby. Even though it's already back, I guess.